This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 142. So today I have Regina Evangelista on the program. She is the co-founder and CEO of Mr. Outsource. It is a outsourcing operation specializing in VAs. They're based down in Davao, and it's a really interesting story from Regina and her involvement more broadly in the outsourcing sector and promotion of outsourcing and VA services within the provinces of the Philippines. So a really interesting chat. If you want to get in touch with her or know any more about this episode, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/142. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by Regina Evangelista. Hi, Regina. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you. And Regina is the CEO of Mr. Outsource. It's a outsourcing firm specializing in VAs based down in Davao in Mindanao and has been going now for about 7 years. So I'm super excited to have you on the show, Regina. And I suppose initially, can you just introduce yourself and we can kind of start with your journey in outsourcing?
Yeah, sure. So, I'm the CEO of Mr. Outsource, and then we have clients globally. We provide managed virtual assistance services. I'm also a co-author of The Outsourcing Mastery. It's basically the 17 secrets and how to outsource to the Philippines. So, and then I basically also trained and coached more than thousands of digital professionals through Mr. Outsource University in the Philippines. I'm also a co-founder of the National Association of Online Freelancers in the Philippines, which is DCAP, or the Digital Career Advocate of the Philippines. It's officially partnered with the government where we kind of take care of the online professionals in a way where they have support, they have benefits, and we make sure they have that support system where they can go to. I'm also a passionate public speaker on any topics related to, you know, growing digital career or your profession in the Philippines, how to get clients, client acquisition, things like that. I'm also very passionate in helping out and training people from the rural areas, especially here in Mindanao, which the government is actively participating. I'm excited. It's a long way ahead, but at least it's a start.
Wow, that's an incredible range of involvements. Well done. It's something that I'm also very passionate about, and you know, I haven't been a proponent of outsourcing as long as you, but I've actually been outsourcing in the Philippines for about 8 years now, and I really do see it as, you know, a fantastic opportunity for the Philippines, for the Filipino workforce to really upskill themselves and have access to careers and income and opportunities on a world scale. Yeah, it's super exciting, and It is really encouraging to see the number of activities and initiatives out there, and you are heading, you know, a number of them. How do you find the government support generally for outsourcing, and how do you sort of how does this sort of average man in the street perceive outsourcing and their opportunities with outsourcing?
Yeah, I think it differs from city to city. So, for example, in Manila, that people are kind of aware of the online jobs and those opportunities online. But in Mindanao and Visayas, there's still those areas where we need to push that. We need to push our advocacies there. And part of it because probably they don't have good internet, they don't have access to all these. Because Visayas is basically an island. So like group of islands. So I think the reach is kind of difficult as well. I mean, finding speakers in that area is difficult as well. But in Mindanao, we just make sure that we go to these places. And the government has been very, very supportive. They make sure that a place before they sent us there to speak or to train, they make sure that the place has infrastructure, the local government unit has the capacity or the budget to support. So after the training, to support. So initially, the idea was the government basically partners with DTI. So basically, the small to medium enterprises locally hires a virtual assistant. So local to local kind of arrangement. And then grew, if they want to get online clients, they can also do that. So it's part of that training. But when it comes to support, I mean, the Senate has given more budget this year. The president wanted to push this more IT outsourcing to the rural areas. We actually have a PIS conference. So it's a Philippine Impact Sourcing Conference. It happened last year in Davao City, and this year it's going to happen in Cebu. It's gathering all local government units and basically telling them, this is the plan. We are planning to get scholars. We are planning to teach people from website design, virtual assistants, social media, marketing, management, SEO, all those specializations. And then there are contacts or different trainers for each place.
Wow. And is the initial ambition to get these people working locally within a domestic market, but it's kind of online activities? Or is it with the initial, you know, so serving local businesses in Davao, for example, or is it about getting them out there into the worldwide workforce and maybe sort of dealing with Upwork and getting on those kind of platforms?
Yeah, the goal really is to make sure that the trainees are hireable, whether local SMEs or online clients. And then there's just really a price difference when it comes to offering our services to local people, local businesses, whereas to those that are online or clients abroad.
Right. Fantastic. Yeah. And so just to rewind a little bit, can you, how did you get into outsourcing? And it seems certainly that it's you know a strong passion of yours now and one that you're a strong advocate for. What was the beginning of your journey specifically for you?
Yeah, I never really thought of the word outsourcing. I mean, I started like 7 years ago and there was no virtual assistant term, or it was just freelancing term. And there was that negative connotation when it comes to freelancing. They thought it's just gigs and you won't succeed with it. There's that mentality. So I just, you know, they say that the more I write articles, the more I make money, and that's good for me. So I just make sure I write, I do product reviews, I do content for websites. And then Erland, which is my business partner now, which is based in the UK, said, like, how about you become my personal assistant? You book my hotels, you take care of everything that you can take care of from there, which frees more of his time. So that kind of arrangement encourages his friends and his coaching clients to do the same. And then he says, Regina, do you want to start a business where you train people there? And, you know, we outsource tasks from you guys to you guys there. And I never came from a business background. Like my major was literature, English. And it wasn't, I didn't know I was an entrepreneur until it was brought out to me. You know, I didn't know that I had to do this, I had to do numbers, and I had to do profit and loss, and I had to take care of people. And it's always a learning experience for me every day. But what's an advantage is dealing with different clients in different stages of their businesses kind of helps me run my own business. So we have clients from launching startups to 5 to 6 years companies to even like 20 years company. So we kind of have that experience and knowledge transfer from our clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And that seems to be, you know, certainly on your website, and everyone can go to Mr. Outsource, and of course we'll put these links in the show notes, but there's a very strong education piece in your product, isn't there, in that you have a university, you have like upskilling programs, and it really is about holding people's hands and developing both sides of the spectrum, so the client and the supplier. You know?
For with hiring virtual assistants, we can't, because of that, we opened another business, which is the DreamWork co-working space. So it's a shared co-working space in Davao City where the virtual assistants we hire can go there when there's power interruption or there's slow internet in their houses. So they can go there. But then after that, we attracted more freelancers coming to the space. We attract digital nomads wanting to hire freelancers in that space. Mm-hmm. So that collaboration, that online digital culture, we bring from online to offline through that space. So there's like meeting these different people wanting to hire virtual assistants, and they're really impressed with the skill set that we have, how the English skills and just the basic computer skills. And there's that hiring collaboration going on also, I mean, at least in Davao City.
Right. And so you, as you said, you were starting in the earlier days of freelancing. It was about kind of 8 years ago, let's say. You were doing content production, and you know, there was a bit of a kind of a stigma about that, and you have now built your own VA agency. There's a strong education piece there. How have you seen the industry generally evolve over the last 7 years? Is it, you know, are more people aware of this? Are you still thinking that it's you know, how have you, what are your opinions on the development of the sector?
Yeah, I mean, not at all. It has transitioned from becoming the just sideline gigs to really an online professional career. Like, even I have people who's catering 5-6 clients just working from their houses, and they want to help other people because they cannot do the workload, and they want to hire their own sister or family member. And in their houses, although it's just in a farm in the mountains, it looks like a call center setup, because they have their cousins and they have everyone just trying to do data entry, trying to do a research task. And the government kind of sees that also. When it comes to us, I mean, every day people are just asking for more trainings, either from the government or for private sectors. There's a lot of active players just trying to provide training for online careers for PWDs, and then there are key players who also provide training for single mothers, providing them online jobs. You know, so it's really have evolved into something that's, you know, the next step, basically.
Because it is such an incredible opportunity for the Philippines, isn't it? Because as you say, you know, PWDs, people with disabilities, can do it. Anyone can do it, regardless of where you are. It's a clean and safe job, so it's not like a, you know, labor-intensive job where there's danger and it's hard work. And also there's the continual opportunity to upskill, you know, and improve yourself, and eventually maybe teach yourself coding and really kind of rise up the skill ladder. Yeah? As long as people are just aware of this and given these opportunities.
Yeah, and clients play a significant role too when it comes to the knowledge transfer and the skill upscaling, the skill that you have, because they buy all these courses online and they don't have the time to watch those videos, to go through those courses. So what they do is they hire virtual assistant like myself or virtual assistant agency to watch those business courses, to watch those personal development courses, and we kind of summarize what are the action steps of those courses. And also we get to learn things for free, you know, so it's a win-win situation for clients and us. So we really, I mean, this really is a very perfect setup where we provide value, and at the same time, Filipinos have that natural motherly, like, I'm going to give value, I'm going to give you a good service and things like that.
Absolutely, yeah. It really is, you know, there's sort of a bit of a stigma as well to just being someone's assistant. But actually, there is a huge opportunity when you are sitting side by side virtually with a CEO or someone senior. You can actually have incredible skill share and upskilling just through that ongoing relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have our own podcast, and part of our task is to email these best-selling authors and millionaires. And every time we email them, we were surprised that Grant Cardone said, "Yeah, sure, have me on your interview." And we basically spoke with Grant Cardone, and, you know, Erland interviewed him, and it's just that, or Dan Pena, or all those names, you know, and listening to their interviews and having to have interaction with them. It's kind of, you know, where can you get this opportunity besides the online profession that we have?
Yeah, and that is the power of the internet and outsourcing as well, isn't it? Because it's really finally bringing the world onto one even marketplace and one opportunity. Whereas 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the Philippines, people didn't really have a chance because they were bound in by the geographical borders, by kind of migratory controls, by the education. But now the online world lets you work kind of virtually anywhere in the world, and you can educate yourself via MOOCs, via online courses, via, I don't know, code academies. So that it's now kind of an unbound opportunity for the first time in the world, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. There's so much. There's no regulation or regulatory body yet, or there's no having yourself registered as a self-employed. There's still no streamlined process for that yet, but the government, you know, is planning to do a seamless process on what to do. But that's just, again, part of the government's step to making sure that we're protected. We're also doing our fair share to the country, because they say we're the new OFWs, right? So we're the online Filipino workers, more overseas Filipino workers. So,
it's cool there, huh? I heard that for the first time the other day, actually. And and again, part of our message is that this workforce, you know, the outsourcing, whatever it is, whether it's kind of freelance or within the structured BPOs, they are the kind of economic leaders of the strong new Philippines, and they need to be celebrated, they need to be supported. But on that note, what is the, because rumor has it, you know, there's about sort of 1 to 1.2 million people properly employed within the BPO sector, but then there's this whole gray market and this whole sort of gray workforce of people that work online, they work as VAs, they might work full-time on Upwork or Freelancer. And kind of rumor has it that there's maybe about another 1 million people that do that in the Philippines. Do you have any visibility on the size of this workforce?
Yeah, the biggest online group of Filipino freelancers is 100,000. 100,000 online active Filipinos. That's just one group.
And that's a Facebook group, yeah.
Yeah, that's a Facebook group, and they do meetups, and they do trainings, they do drop shipping courses, and there's another key player that's largest also, like they have probably 80,000 members, and it's really just different Facebook groups, because they're online, they're just there, you know, but of course, working from home, you need that support system as well, so creating those groups, I mean, the DICD predicted there's more than 5 million of us working online. Some are registered, some are not, you know, and it's, they say in a way we're disrupting the workforce in a way, because from BPO, they wanted to do work from home, online work. So that's why the BPO also adjusted, and they also offer work from home setup. Especially for single parents or things like that. So they've also basically adapted to that change.
Right. And is the government's pretty sympathetic, right? They're trying to enable this. They're not wanting to kind of over bureaucratize it, kind of thing.
No, not really. I mean, the end goal, we're at the baby stage yet. So basically just taking one step at a time, just orienting people what it is, training people the basic skill set that they need to have. And then for DCAP, the National Association of the Online Freelancers, our role and responsibility is to make sure that we have health benefits or health insurance. Mm. We have license numbers, or making sure that if you are accredited by this, you're not a scammer, or you're a verified online freelancer from the Philippines.
Right. But it is important that that doesn't get too difficult to execute, yeah, because I assume you're aware of the difficulties in incorporating a corporation here, and generally
Yes.
it's quite involved versus other countries where you can incorporate a company in one day. It might take kind of 6 weeks to 6 months here, and I hope and the government actually is fairly progressive in sort of realizing these things, and I just hope that they don't impose too much friction. So that it
Yeah.
means that people just stay in the grey market and kind of underground instead of doing everything legitimately, yeah?
Yeah, we did a training on paying your taxes as an online freelancer, and no one shows up. It's just that topic, or just that elephant in the room where no one wants to talk about it. But at the end of the day, we are citizens of this country. We have to give back. So the government also wants to make sure that, because there are two types of online key players or online professionals: those that are selling products online and those that are selling services online. And the government just wants to make sure that which is which, what is the process through all of this.
Right. Yeah. And another, comment that I've heard, and because Upwork and Freelancer, they're becoming more and more popularized, you're getting a lot of people flooding onto these platforms. But I've heard now that it's been so normalized in the West that people expect, good Filipino workers, good Filipino output. But now they're wanting everything done for like a dollar an hour or a dollar. Have you seen kind of a crash in the price payments? And also, people that I know that work on Upwork are saying it's harder and harder to be awarded contracts and work because there's so much competition and most people just want to pay a dollar. Are you seeing kind of a new shift where people are expecting the it's kind of been normalized now, and then they're just expecting more and more for less and less?
Yeah, unfortunately, you see clients looking for a superstar virtual assistant who can do everything but just have a $1 budget for it. I mean, it doesn't work in the West, so how would they expect it to work here? Like they say, if you pay peanuts, you expect monkeys, So we tell them, I mean, if you want to pay $1, then you expect a service that's $1. I mean, if you want to hire people that stay in your team, really, really good people who provide value to your business, will grow your business, actually, you have to also invest in those people. I mean, Erland, when he told me that you want to work for me, and it says, well, I don't have a computer. He says, okay, go tomorrow and buy a MacBook. I'm like, are you serious? Like, is this too good to be true? But he says, I want to invest in you. Like, I want you to know that I care for you, and I wanted to know that you have everything that you need. And this isn't just Erlen. There's countless of clients out there buying computers for their virtual assistants, making sure that they have health insurance, making sure that their family is taken care of. But then, of course, there's also this side where, clients don't care. You just have to make sure that you find that client where you align with.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had a number of people reach out to us and say that they want a VA. They only want to pay sort of 150, 200 a month. They also want them to be able to do digital marketing and content production, and also, the guy's too busy, so he wants an expert because he doesn't want to spend time training them. And it's I don't know what they expect is over here in the Philippines, because it's just not available anywhere in the world, is it?
Yeah, I mean China and Indonesia and Vietnam, they're Vietnam, for example, or Thailand, coders and app developers. But for virtual assistant, real estate virtual assistant, legal virtual assistant in the Philippines, it's just, there are VAs that I know are charging $15, $20 for a client that they've been working for, I don't know, like 10 years already. And they're just contented. They just say, yeah, I like my client. He makes
Wow.
sure I get paid, and I just make sure that all the work is done. I work from home. Then, it's a good relationship. So,
What do they charge?
yeah.
$15, $20, what, a day?
I know, an hour actually.
Okay, right. Okay,
Yeah, because they do, because they do everything for that client too. They do project management. They do communicate or liaise, communicate with other team members.
And that is the best win-win then, isn't it? Because that's a great salary for someone working from home and with low or no overheads. It's a great price for the client. And also it's cutting down on the middleman, isn't it? Because it's there's less people involved in the chain.
Yeah, and the advantage of that is that your virtual assistant will no longer look for another client and just focus on your business, which is, as a business owner, I would want that. I would want someone who's dedicated their whole life to make sure that a Facebook post is uploaded or my podcast is on time.
Absolutely. And in your experience, though, and this concerns me slightly sometimes, these VAs that do work from home and they're on Upwork, is there a lot of moonlighting? Are they kind of charging out for a 20 or 40 hour job, but they're, juggling two, three, four, five clients doing that?
Yeah, unfortunately we have seen some of those. But then when you look at their Upwork, their reviews are great, their ratings are great. They're referred by clients too. So they kind of have that, and they have a team where they pay salaries too. So that's why they are at that price. 'Cause some of them would, instead of creating an agency profile, they also do a personal profile and Upwork just to get those clients.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So hopefully the market kind of all balances out at the end of the day. Yeah. Fantastic. So thank you so much for your time, Regina. I want to get you back for the next episode, and so that we can really deep dive into Mr. Outsource. But until then, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, let's just go to www.mroutsource.com, and there's an email there. We can just email us, and yeah, we'll email you right back.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Regina.
Thank you.
That was Regina Evangelista of Mr. Outsource. If you want to get in touch with her or know any more about Mr. Outsource, then of course go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/142. And if you want to ask us anything, then please do just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.